So what is prayer? Different religions have different ideas of what prayer is, as well as ideal prayers to pray. Many people not following religion believe that prayer is whatever they want it to be at the time of their need. They believe that they should be able to throw out some words to whatever greater being might be listening, and they should, by virtue of their own worthiness, be heard. Many believe that if there is a God, like a genie, their requests would be granted. If their requests are not granted, they conclude that there is therefore no God. So what is legitimate prayer? Prayer is a conversation with the Almighty God on His terms, where I recognize my place and I recognize His place. Most of us here are probably not wondering why God answers so many of our prayers in exactly the way we ask Him to. However, we do tend to wonder why certain of our prayers are not answered. We recognize that sometimes the answer to our prayer is just no. But is that always the reason we don't get what we ask for? We often hedge our prayers with the statement, "If it be your will." I often pray this way myself, but that statement should really go without saying. Of course, God will not act against His own will. Is it possible that there are requests that God truly desires to grant, but will not grant because of how we come to Him? The Bible teaches us that there are four basic reasons that God will not hear us. First, there is unbelief. Look at James 1, 6 through 7. He writes regarding prayer, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." Notice the principle here. The one who doubts should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So we see that a lack of faith will hinder our prayers. The second reason God will not hear our prayers is unrepentant sin. Psalm 66, 18 says, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." And Isaiah 59, 2, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He does not hear." In John 9:31, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, God listens to him. The third reason God will not hear us is if we are selfish, greedy, and lacking compassion. James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your own passions." Proverbs 21:13 says, "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." Fourth and finally, God will not hear our prayers because of our pride. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So, four reasons the Bible gives regarding prayers that God rejects, or we could say ineffective prayer. There is unbelief, unrepentant sin, selfishness, and pride. Now, when I was a kid, I wanted to learn how to play guitar. We couldn't afford lessons, so I got a book and I taught myself. I taught myself to play, but I never got to the point where I wanted to be with the instrument. Years later, I went to a guitar teacher and I said, "Teach me to play." He said, "You already know how to play." I said, "I want to learn how to play right." As we see at the top of our bulletin, Luke 11:1, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Now everyone knew what prayer was, and they knew technically how to pray. They had read the Psalms of David, they had read the books of the prophets, and many of which contained prayers of God's people. But they knew that there was something different about the way Jesus prayed. They knew that when Jesus prayed, God heard. So what Jesus' disciples are asking him to do is teach him to pray in a way that God hears, in the way that God will find acceptable. Is God answering your prayers? I don't mean are you getting everything you ask for, but do you have the sense and confidence that God hears you and that his answers are righteous? Remember the account of Paul as he talks about the thorn in his flesh. He writes to the church in Corinth, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" He got the answer to his prayer. And he continues, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, with insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We see here that Paul does not receive the answer he wants, but is confident and content with God's answer. He knows the answer is no, but he's also confident that he was heard and that God's answer is according to God's will. The disciples want to know how to pray because they want to know that they're being heard. In our text today, we see that there are three characteristics of prayer as taught by Jesus. The first is faith. Not just faith that you will receive what you're asking for, but faith in God himself. This faith includes who God is, what he has done, and what he has promised in his word. There is also the characteristic of humble persistence. Do we really want what we're asking for? Do we really need what we're asking for? And are we seeking God with genuine humility? And third is the characteristic of content. What are we praying for? What is of primary importance in our lives? Is the content of our prayers what God wants to do in our lives? What he wants to do in the lives of those we're praying for? Or are we continually praying for our will to be done? I believe that the goal of prayer, the outcome we most desire, should be that God would be glorified through his answer, that we would be content with God's will in the matter, and that through the process we would become more like Jesus. In this text, Jesus uses three ways to teach us about prayer. First, he gives us a model prayer. Next, he tells us a story about a man in need. And finally, he tells us about God's desire in prayer. Jesus did, in fact, teach us to pray. And so the question is, are we trying to speak to God on our terms or on his? The first point to learning to pray is that we ought to pray believing. Look at verse 2. Jesus says, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Notice that this model prayer answers the question, who is the God that we're praying to and what is he like? First, Jesus deals with the holiness of God. He begins this prayer with the address, "Father, hallowed be your name." This is to say that God's name is holy, pure, and righteous, because God is holy, pure, and righteous. It is a name that is set aside from all other names because God, being our creator, is not common as is his creation. God is with us, but he is separate from us. Jesus begins by telling us to approach God in prayer with the knowledge and reverence that he is holy. Next, Jesus deals with the righteous judgment of God. He says, "Your kingdom come." Jesus frequently taught about the coming kingdom of God. He said in Mark 1:15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Jesus is coming back to this earth. And he will not return as a helpless child. He's going to return as a righteous judge. As we approach God in prayer, are we preparing to speak with him as we would a soon returning king coming to settle accounts? We can only eagerly await Christ's return if we are in fact prepared for it. Are you prepared for the return of Christ? When he returns, will he treat you as a brother or as a convict awaiting justice? We pray for many people and for many things, but one thing common to us all is that we all need basic provision. And whether we acknowledge it or not, we all need God to provide our needs. Jesus is teaching us to acknowledge our need for the provision of God, and that without God's provision, we could not survive. Jesus adds, "Give us each day our daily bread," as a humble acknowledgement that God is our provider. This is not just for the poor or for those without the resources to buy food. When we realize that everything we have comes from God, everything from the abilities we have to earn a living to the money in our pockets, we can approach God in prayer from a proper place of humility with an attitude of gratefulness. However, the greatest of all human needs is that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus addresses our need of God's grace as he instructs us to pray, "Forgive us our sins." We are instructed to ask for forgiveness because it is he whom we have offended. In other words, our sin is primarily a violation against God. We would die without God's provision of basic necessities such as food and water. But without God's grace, without his forgiveness, we would die in our sins and be eternally lost, separated from God in an eternal hell. Jesus teaches us that we need to go before God in prayer with a repentant heart, meaning that we are turning from our sin as we approach God in prayer. But notice that Jesus teaches us that God's grace toward us is not for us alone. The grace of God is to flow through us like a conduit, like a pipe. Jesus continues, "For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us." Our attitude in prayer must be that we appreciate God's grace toward us so much that we must extend it to those who sin against us. We forgive because we have been forgiven. Finally, Jesus wants us to recognize our weakness regarding sin. Without God as our protector, we could not withstand the pressure of temptation. We would be destroyed by the effect of our sin. Jesus instructs us to pray and lead us not into temptation. Notice that Jesus indicates that there are places of temptation. How many times do Christians fall into sin because they go into places they should not be? While Adam and Eve were still in the garden, it would not have been a good idea to have a Sunday picnic under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yet sometimes Christians intentionally go where temptation is. Jesus is telling us that we need to seek God's wisdom, that he would lead us into a lifestyle where temptation is minimized, to give us the wisdom to see where we don't belong and the obedience to not go there, that God himself would lead us into a path where there are no traps. Jesus gives us a model, but within that model, there are tremendous truths about what God wants us to know about ourselves and about him. So we are to pray believing, and we are to pray persistently. Look at verse 5. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened." In teaching us about prayer, Jesus tells us this story to show us that God is not offended by our persistence. In fact, he encourages it. Notice that in this story, the man asking for bread is more desirous for his need to be met than he is for his own reputation, for dignity. He is shameless in his asking, unconcerned for the conventions of the day. He is in need, and he knows that his friend has the ability to meet that need. When his friend calls out from the house, "Don't bother me," he knows that if he continues asking, his friend will get up and give him the bread. So because of this man's shameless persistence, his need was met. Jesus is saying, ask of God in this way, and he will answer. In verses 9 and 10, Jesus says, "Ask, seek, and knock, and you will receive, you will find, and the door will be opened to you." The man in this story was desperate, and out of his desperation, he sought provision from his friend until he responded. Do we go to God in prayer with the acknowledgement of our genuine neediness? Now, there's no greater example of a desperate prayer than someone genuinely asking God for salvation. The sinner's need of a Savior is so great, there is absolutely no way of being saved without God. It is with this type of humble determination that Jesus is showing us in this story. He's instructing us to pray like our lives depend on it. So we need to pray believing, we need to pray persistently, and we need to pray for what's best. Look at verse 11. "What father among you, if a son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" What's the content of our prayers? Do we pray for what God wants to give us? Now, Jesus starts this point by contrasting the goodness of God with the evil of man. He says that no decent father would be so cruel as to give his children scorpions and serpents when they're hungry. and they're asking for eggs and fish. He's saying that God knows what we need to live, and he'll not answer our requests with harm. Jesus is saying that God is good and he desires to give us that which is best for us. This is why Jesus takes a turn here from the needs of the body to the needs of the spirit. Jesus asks, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus is teaching us to pray for the Holy Spirit's continued involvement in our lives. He's saying that he has the little things covered, things like food and clothing. He's telling us here that if we seek God for the Holy Spirit's involvement in our lives, he will give us more than we ask for. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Relating to prayer, the Holy Spirit helps us in our times of weakness. He prays for us when we don't know how to pray. Paul wrote to the Romans in 8:26, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Jesus is saying that the best we could pray for is that the Holy Spirit would be more involved in our lives. Because regarding prayer, the Holy Spirit prays for us according to the perfect will of God. But the Holy Spirit does more than that. Paul says in Titus 3:5, "We are saved by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." So once we're saved, what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? Well, just to name a few, in 1 Corinthians 2:12, the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. Ephesians 3:16, the Holy Spirit gives us strength and power. Romans 8:14, the Holy Spirit leads us and confirms that we are children of God. In Acts 1:8, we see the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses of the gospel. Jesus said, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" What are you asking God for? Jesus said in John 14:13-15, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Notice the point of answered prayer in Jesus' name, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When I went to that guitar teacher, I started to learn the right way to play guitar. He started to correct some of the bad habits I developed. I wanted to play it right, but I stopped taking lessons and continued to do it my own way. As a result, I'm still not a very good guitar player. If you feel that God is not hearing you when you pray, maybe he's not. Remember the disqualifiers to being heard by God. Are you praying with unbelief? Are you praying with unrepentant sin? Are you selfish or greedy? Are you prideful? Jesus says, when you pray, pray with faith in God. Pray with humble persistence. And pray for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Pray the prayers that God desires to answer. Let's pray. Father, you are our glorious King, our Creator, and our Savior. Help us with our unbelief. Forgive us of our sin and teach us to be generous to those in need. Forgive us of our pride and teach us to be humble. We have many requests, but we ask of you most of all that you would let your Holy Spirit reign in us, to lead us and to guide us, to teach us, to change us, and to pray for us according to your will. Teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.